I feel you watching me pull up across the room. I think you like the view. You're gonna make a move. I don't make this easy for you.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Good Luxus. I'm your host Ellie.
And I'm your host Tati J.
Welcome back, y'all. We have another episode for you guys. We hope you guys are having a lovely Monday, a great week. Thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. So me and Tati have like our episode as usual, where we just have topics that we share, and whether or not you relate to it, you guys can feel free to DM us or comment whenever we post like a short clip. So feel free to always communicate with us however you like. But again, thank you guys for tuning in. And for this episode, I think a lot of us might be able to connect with this episode. I think we've all experienced it. And if you're at the age of like, you know, you're done with your bachelor's, you're working, and adulthood is hitting you hard, you're going to feel this episode. So I saw this post recently that said, I think our parents did a terrible job of conveying how much they're going through as adults, because if I knew you was getting disrespected and harassed all day, then maybe I'll be more eager to defrost the meats.
I'm dead.
Honestly, I think we've all been there. I know when my mom, after a long day of work, she would always call me up at 12 p.m. or like whatever time, like usually during her break or lunch break that they give at the nursing home, and she would call me and she'll be like, and I'm just like, yeah, and, you know, you're watching TV, right? And you just forget, right? And then you hear the door. Oh guys, it's the worst feeling. You hear the door, you hear the keys jingling, and you're like, oh shoot, here she comes, and you're like running to the fridge. And
yo, hot water,
and obviously, you, now that I'm old, I'm like, obviously it's not gonna defrost, like it's a loss. You're gonna get hit. So I remember once my mom got home, she would be so mad. And I always said that my mom would take home with her. I knew like I could have had a great day. Me and my mom had no issues. The moment she got home, I knew she was in a bad mood and I was going to get battled that day. I was going to get spanked that day. Not because I did anything wrong, because I knew she had a terrible day at work. And I knew she didn't know how to like separate the two. I was just like, I always just like gave in. I'm like, well, it is what it is. I'm getting beaten today. I'm getting a battle today. And if I knew how much stress she was going through, then I would have been like, oh wow, I would have been a lot more easier.
A lot better, yeah.
And a lot more understanding.
I think if we knew, we would have done more, but I also don't agree with the quote, because it's like, it's our parents' job to protect us from their tough realities. Why would a parent put that on their 8-year-old child, their 10-year-old child, like, yo, work is beating my ass, I'm stressed, I hate my job, blah, blah, blah. Why would they want to do that? Do I think there is possibly a healthier way to convey, hey, not even like this is my stress, but my responsibility as your parent is to do this. Your responsibility as a child is to do this. However I can help you as a child, I'll do it. However you can help me as a parent, can you do this? Like, which is where I feel like too, like the idea of like chores and things like that come into place. Granted, it's like at this point, Haitian households, I can speak for my own, you do it because you have to. You do it because you're the child. My mom say, "Oh, like donkeys have children for they can like basically break their back for their parents." I tell my mom, "I don't like it.
I don't like it."
You sit down and tell me, like, "Hey, I have a job. This is what I do. Your job as a child is to do this. Explain why I'm doing it, not just because I'm a child and I have to." I think that is where it becomes a little bit more appropriate. This whole you have to do it because I'm your parent. You have to, like, this whole not explaining thing. And even
because me, like, it's always because.
Exactly. And I get it too. Like, like, my little cousin lives with me now, and I'm part basically raising him, helping raise him. And I'm like, little boy, because I said it. Like, that's it, period. But I try to remember, it's like, let's try to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't always have the energy. I can't always explain it in a way that you're going to comprehend. It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah, I do agree with you that I think there's a better way of communicating it and conveying the message to, you know, your kids. Because like, I think if I saw my mom work really hard and my dad too, but my mom worked two jobs growing up. And I would see her, there was days I wouldn't see her come home. Like,
same.
And she would leave in the morning. So I would wake up in the morning to get ready for work, for school. And then she wouldn't come home until 11, but I'm already in bed. So then I would see her in the morning. So honestly, where do you even build the relationship with a parent besides on the weekend? But as I got older, that's when she started doing that. My mom always said that when a child is younger, one parent always has to be home with the child because she believes like at least like someone to review the homework. So as I got older, she was the one picking up the later shifts. But when I was younger, she would make sure to stay home more with me so she can help me with my homework and, you know, help me whatever I need. But as I got older, I would see her working those two jobs and I'm like, damn, this is a lot. She would never communicate about it. But as I got older, I remember sharing this on the podcast that mentally she was not doing okay. Like it was a lot for her, but she went, I'm just only 8 or 9 years old. I don't understand these things. She couldn't be like, wow, I'm stressed. Like this is a lot. Working two jobs, 7 to 3, 3 to 11 is a lot. It's stressful. Mm-hmm. And it breaks my heart to know that she had no one to talk to. Like at least we have like, hey, Tati, like work is tough. Like we're always talking about, work is terrible. But I don't think our parents literally communicate that with their friends, their sisters, or I don't even know their husband. I don't know if my mom ever even communicated that with my dad. Or like, wow.
They just accepted it as this is my life and
they accepted it. And I think my dad is a person that was like, you're not working two jobs. Like my dad is the one that was like, that's it. You're only working one job. Cause I think he would see it. Like you're picking her up from work. And granted, my mom doesn't drive. And I think that, I thank the Lord every time because imagine working like both jobs, working late and you're driving home. Like that was one of my biggest fears. So whenever she was like, yeah, I'm going to start driving. I was like, no. Like Poppy can pick you up. No, we're not doing that.
There's times my mom, she works both jobs as well. And she was like, I fell asleep at a red light. And I was like, baby, what? It's so sad.
And they work, they work really hard. And now that I'm older, I wasn't blinded, but I think a lot of us blinded by the fact that, you know, we see that we have a house, we're living in the house, food is given to us. And we don't think our parents work so hard to be where they are right now. Like when I was in school and where I am now, like I always play in the back of my head, like my mom working hard. Like I knew, like not saying like I wouldn't have done better for myself or like, went to college or went to grad school, but like I would just picture my mom waking up in the morning, working, packing her lunch. And then on top of that, she would still find the time to make me breakfast in the morning if I wanted something or make me food so I can go to school. And shout out to my dad, amazing husband who like understood that I have a hard working woman and I'm going to cook, I'm going to do the laundry, I'm going to do grocery shopping. Like he took care of everything. So that's a major help to her. But when I was in school, I would just picture my mom doing all that. And I'm just like, no, like I need to do better for myself. So I'm not in the same situation that she's in. I'm doing better for myself. And my hope is that I'm doing so much better for myself that I'm able to take her from the position that she is now. No, thankfully she's not working two jobs anymore, but like she's still working hard. She's not working as hard as I am, but she's still working hard. And it's just like, I am the number one advocate on kids doing better, especially kids who know their parents came from a different country, who refuse to do better for themselves. And you see your mom and father struggling in this country and you refuse to do better for yourself.
Yeah. Oh, like, Lord.
Man, like whenever I hear, okay, I never knew better. Like it's just go to college. So I did that.
Yeah, this is
it. You see kids who refuse to go to college.
and make nothing of their life, because college is not for everyone.
Baby, you have people working at Domino's that have a franchise.
Baby, you could like...
They're becoming managers. Like, what is it? Do better for yourself. Mm-hmm. Do better for yourself that your parents did not come illegal into this country for you to... For you to not be anything. Like, for them not to be... At least for them to be proud and tell their friends, wow, you don't see my kid. Like, that's the most that you can give them. They're not asking for, some parents are not asking for money, but they're just literally asking to be proud of their kids.
Yeah. And I will say it does like, cause sometimes in our culture, it's like what they want to be proud of is impossible in the sense it's like you have someone, you want your child to be a doctor, baby, your child is an amazing artist and they could be successful in that. And unfortunately, Alex, that won't be the proud. Mm-hmm. So there is that aspect, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the kids who literally like, they're in gangs, they're doing drugs, they're not applying themselves, they're failing out of school, wasting their parents' tuition money, stuff like that. And I'm just like, and topics like this, I think the older I get to, and then once again, being an only child, mm-hmm. like, things like this make me very emotional. And I was just talking to Ellie.
I was getting emotional just talking about it. And like, literally, like, I can still picture my mom, like, waking up in the morning, and she's tired. Here I am, I used to be waking up in the morning, going to work, my first job. And I remember bawling my eyes in the bathroom.
Like, no, I'm not crying.
To sit at the desk, I'm crying. And then you have my mom who's on her feet from 7 to 3. Mm-hmm. And to hear the experience, like, obviously in the field that she's in, like, there's some terrible people, like, head nurses that give them a hard time, and people that they deal with, they got to deal with some nasty stuff at work, you know, like, mm-hmm. it's not the best job, but like, to just hear. And then on top of that, like, my mom has amazing relationship with all her patients' family, like, mm-hmm. like, they, I follow some of them on Instagram, and like, we've gone to like a few parties, and it's just amazing to see, like, she literally does it with her whole heart. And I'm like, bro, how do you get this energy, and how do you give your all? It's just,
I just feel like they're superwoman, and I'm probably honestly gonna try during this episode, like, because like when me and Ellie do our own episodes, we don't tell each other what it's about.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting any of this, but there's like 4 points in my life where I can see, like, damn, I saw my mom for who she really was, in terms of like, she is breaking her back. I remember when I was like 9 years old, my mom went to class to get her GED. I was helping my mom with her homework at that point. And I went to her little like class, like graduation, not graduation for getting her GED, but her class graduation. And they presented my mom with this award for like, best, like, my mom would bring her teacher food. The teacher was white, and she was like, oh, best cook in the class. And my mom got that award. And I was so proud of her. And then I remember she told me like, she had to stop because she had to, like, she couldn't find it in her schedule. She had to work. So she couldn't get her GED. So that was like, I remember I was like 9. I was like, damn, like, mommy, like, you can't do this. I want you to do this. And you can't do this because you have to take care of me, essentially. And then I remember my parents split up and my dad moved back to Haiti. And I was waking up at 5 a.m. in the morning to catch the bus, and then coming home at 10 p.m. at night because I had basketball. And she always told me, I'm not going to let you not play basketball because of this. Like, you're not going to give up anything. But I had to make, you know, some sacrifices of 5 a.m. to 10 p.m. for a high schooler. And I'm taking the bus and train at night by myself. Like, that's a lot. And I could tell it was killing her. But she also wasn't going to let me suffer because of something two adults had decided at that point.
Yep.
And another point, junior year, I filled that one out of one of my classes. She had to take out money out of her. But mind you, my mom paid my tuition all by herself, no help from anyone, and had to pay an extra $1,000-something for that class. And I felt so disappointed. And she was like, don't cry, Shelly. It's okay. I know you tried your best. I'm going to pay it and we're going to pass. And then that's it. And then now what I was talking to Ellie about off camera is that a lot of my family from Haiti is here and they're living with me. And my mom is so tired. And I see it. She recently cut back hours, but bills have gotten so high that she is now adding hours. Mm-hmm. And my cousin just got a job, and this literally requires me to wake up early every single all the days that I'm off, wake up early and drive him 40 to hour away to his job in the morning and then to come pick him up. Do I necessarily want to do this? No. But do I know if I don't do this, the stress it's going to cause my mom to try to figure it out? And my mom is 63, I believe, turning 64 or turning 63, one of the two, and still works two jobs. Mm-hmm. Had a knee replacement surgery last year, still is having issues with her knee, works as a CNA, still is doing these things, and literally just had a patient the other day throw milk at her and threaten to throw pee at her. Mm. It's like, ooh.
Baby, but at least Tati, she can look and be like, my daughter is a, and like she has pride. Like she didn't save this hard for nothing. And that's the thing I sit back and I'm like, at least my parents can look and be like, they're proud. Okay. Like they, you know, they did all the best that they can, but I just can't seem to understand the kids who refuse to see how hard their parents are working. And they refuse to do better for themselves, to even and better themselves and better, hopefully, you know, help their parents.
As much as me and Ellie sit here and talk about how hard it is being Haitian, how hard it is being an only child, the pressures that come with it, I will say too, though, I'm not saying I wouldn't be here without my mom, but probably not. Like, she is the battery in my back. And it's not like, oh, I want to, like, make her look good for her to prove other people. Cause you know, there is some of that in the Haitian culture. Like I want to say to other people, look at my kids, da, da, da. But I want to make my mother proud of me.
Right.
Not just for her to be able to brag, but like just the other day when we're talking about schedules and who can do this, who can do pickups and dropouts, I'm literally giving up every single day I have off from work to wake up early to do this. Mm-hmm. And she literally was just like, I don't know what I did for God to bless me with such a good child, especially only having one, but thank you so much.
Baby,
I know
other you tried. Parents
aren't with me, you and I know one. Other kids, right? And I know other kids wouldn't do this for their family. And I'm like, I'm doing it for them, but mommy, I'm doing it for you because at the end of the day, and then I know it's very hard because I, you know, I talk to other people who are in similar situations who have family come in. It is hard, but I also understand the fact that my mom hasn't been with her family for 30 plus years. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that what it feels like to finally reconnect and be able and be privileged enough to help them. And unfortunately, not unfortunately, but I can't expect my one mom who works 80 hours a week, two jobs in her 60s to have the energy and be able to help everyone without me stepping in. I think that would be selfish of me to sit back and watch everyone else struggle when I can help. Granted, we got to set up boundaries and stuff like that. But I do sometimes think like this notion of like, I don't owe my parents anything.
Yeah.
I always say, if your parents have been good to you, because there's parents who really aren't meant to be parents. My mom was meant to be a mom. My mom was meant to be my mom. Mm-hmm. If you have parents who have been good to you, the least you can do, especially when you don't have a husband, you don't have kids, you don't have any other responsibilities, is make their life easier.
Yeah.
Like at this age, what does it look like for me at 28 years old, not paying any rent and as much rent as a Haitian mother will let you pay? Because at the end of the day, you're there, your child, not contributing to household bills, not, you know, being able to help with drop offs and pickups with family members who live in my house. Like, what kind of child would I be?
And the thing is that we got to think they had to sacrifice a lot. They had to sacrifice a lot. Their time. They had to give up a lot. Culture. Everything. So it's just like, you have to also think of that too. And like, show up for them as much as you can. And like Tati said, if your parents have been good to you, it's just like, there's no reason for you to not be there and show up for them and help them out, especially in their life right now, because they're getting older. And I think a lot of times as I got older, I realized, I'm like, wow, my parents are aging. I think when I was younger, I would obviously forget that my parents, obviously they had birthdays, but I don't know. You kind of like think like, you know, they look the same.
Yeah.
The same.
Yeah.
The fact that now I'm away and I come home, I'm like, oh my gosh, like my parents, I see them aging now that I'm away and coming home and I come to visit. I'm like, oh my gosh, like I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, like part of their life. And I think of this now, most of their life is, you know, they're raising you and then they start taking care of like their, for me personally, it's just, I still have my grandmother still alive. So my mom's taking care of my grandma and my grandpa mm-hmm. was alive. She was doing the same. So it's just like, now that you're older and you can take care of yourself, they're taking care of their grandparents. It's going to be mm-hmm. the same thing for us too. Like we're going to, you know, take care of our kids. And once our kids are old enough to take care of themselves, now we got to take care of our parents. And yeah. we're just going to be aging. And the thing is that we forget that our parents are also aging at the same time. And that mm-hmm. things that they used to be able to do comes with more, it doesn't come as easy for them. And they have more pain doing it. Like my mom complains about pain all the time nowadays. And I just feel so bad. And it's like, bro, you need a vacation. And the thing about Haitian moms or Haitian parents, they don't take vacations like we do. Like,
they don't. It has to some be of them don't.
They, it's like for a wedding, a funeral. That's when they consider like, oh, I have to take some time off to go to Haiti.
My last vacation.
Somewhere.
Like where she probably enjoyed herself was when I was 16 and we went to Walt Disney. Any other travel has been because she had to go to a funeral. Like Dallas for Ellie's wedding mm-hmm. is going to be, even though it's for an occasion, but still it's going to be the only vacation she's taken in probably over 10 years.
Yeah.
That's sad.
I remember 2022, I sent my parents away on vacation. Oh my goodness. Like bless my mom's heart. Like she would want to do this all the time. They mm-hmm. loved it. They loved it so much. The other day I was talking to her. She's like, I want to come to Dallas for your dad's birthday. I was like, not you planning ahead. My dad's old birthday. She's like, tell him to take time off because I want to come. And I was like, for vacation? She's like, yes. And I was just like, oh, that's so cute. Like you, she actually wants to take vacation. But prior to me booking that 2022 mm-hmm. vacation, she was like talking about trash. Pookie sa business vacas.
Yeah.
Pookie sa. Pookie sa. Like she's not going to take her money to do it. Because she's like, oh, that money can go to help family to do that. But I'm like, you come first. And I was telling Tati this on, me and Tati be on the phone having like these conversations. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Tati, I'm like, I tell my mom this all the time. You have family, but at the end of the day, I am your only child and all responsibilities will fall on me at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Like your family will be here to help you, but I have no siblings. I have nobody to help me. She has mm-hmm. her bonus son now, my mm-hmm. my fiance, but like that's just a partner thing. But I tell her all the time, I'm like, he's not obligated to help me. He's not. So it's just like you at the end of the day have to come to a time in your life where you have to start being selfish, where mm-hmm. you start putting yourself first, your health mm-hmm. first, your time first, because I need you to be okay at the end of the day. I need to be able to take care of you. And also know that, like, I still have time to spend with you. Mm-hmm. And not, like...
And that's the thing, too. Like, I tell my mom all the time, like, baby, I don't have kids yet.
Right?
What are you... And it's not... First of all, two parts. Selfishly, baby, I need you... Who gonna watch my baby? Right. You know? Selfishly. But second of all, it's like, I need you to have this relationship with your grandchild. Because, unfortunately, mm-hmm. I've never met my grandfathers. One of them died before I was born. The other one died and I just never got to meet him. And I've only met my mom's mother once and I've only met my dad's mom once and they're both deceased. I've never had the relationship of having a grandparent. And the way I love my mom so much, mm-hmm. it really saddens me that damn, my mom loved her mom that much and I didn't get never. A chance to like get to know. Because I feel like after me, it's probably the only other person she's loved that much is her grandmother. I mean, it's her mother. And I've never had that chance to really like, she's never seen us together to build a connection. And I really, really always said like, when I have a kid, the way my kid needs to love and respect my mother, mm-hmm. because baby, without her, there's no me in every aspect of life. And I want her to have that relationship that I didn't get to have. But I'm like, you are running yourself down to the ground. And
They don't
it's
see
so
that
for me to watch that. Like it's, I think about this almost every night. It's so, oh, why? Oh, tears. It's so hard for me to watch that because I'm like, mommy, the time is not on your side for us to have a relationship. And then whoever I have kids for you guys, but it's like, I need you to slow down. You're hurrying yourself into a grave that's already built for you.
Yep. And that's the conversation I have with her all the time. And I tell her to take it easy, but the thing about it also we need to understand with our parents, our mothers, is that My mom and dad has shared stories of how it's been for them when they came into this country. My mom told me she used to be catching bus. She doesn't know where she's going, but she got to get work. She got to find work. She's like, with broken English, she's walking into every McDonald's, every Burger King, asking for a job. She's like, I'm up the floor. I'll do everything. Like, she works so hard. So again, my mom was always in survival mode coming into this country. And I think my mom is still, even though they've done amazing for themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, they own a house. Like, they've been able to support themselves. Like, I think overall they're doing great. But I think my mom's still in survival mode to make sure that she can not only take care of herself here in America, but to also take care of her whole family back in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like,
it's not just us. It's them.
It's not us. And to me personally, not to sound selfish, but like, I'm going to help my family back in Haiti to an extent of how much I can, but I'm not, if I don't have it, I don't get it. But my mom's the kind of person, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this. They call today, she jumps in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
You can't do that. You can't do that.
It's not as easy here as they think.
It's not.
There is a sense of privilege that comes here. Obviously, we're not going to deny that, but it's like every person has their struggles. And at the end of the day, the people in Haiti don't have the responsibility of providing for a whole family in a different country. That's just what it is. On top of dealing with being culturally aware of the work, how things run here, on top of having your own family here, that's like, it's just so much. And I think because I always said, like, you know, this notion of growing up, Haitians don't have feelings. Haitians, they do.
They just carry them. They don't talk about it.
I can't imagine what my mom had to go through coming to this country illegally, being scared of that, learning a new language, then, you know, raising a family, raising me. Like, my mom, I could never, ever do that. And she's doing it. And it's like, when she came to this country and became a CNA at 30, 31, 32, whatever age, you're still working essentially harder at 60 something.
Yeah.
When do you pause and say, okay.
The economy is not getting better, so they got to work harder. And
more people are coming here. So
unfortunately, I shared this before, but I think especially, like, it's amazing what the Biden administration has done for Haiti. Mm-hmm. But a lot of families are going to be a little set back now with a lot of families joining them here because they were at their mean, right? You're able to cover this amount and you're able to cover your light bill and all this. But now things are going to increase and now you don't have it. And it's just like, it is a blessing at the same time, but it's a lot of families it's going to take a toll on them. And I'm just like,
because this is my household, it's taking a toll. My mom is picking up more hours and it's just like, it's hard. And I'm going to have a conversation with her too. Like, let's sit down and look at this.
Mm-hmm.
What can you give up and you feel like you're going to be okay?
Yeah.
Because what you're doing right now, I don't like it. So we got to fix it. Yeah. So what do you need from me? What do you need from this person? What do you need from this person? And like you said, it's a great and amazing thing, but there's no resources for these people.
Right. And I think you need to have that conversation for them because they don't have that opportunity to be vulnerable and to talk about, like, they're probably thinking about it, but like, I'm the kind of person like, hey mom, let's sit down. Let's talk about this. We need to work on this. She won't come to me and say that. Like, I have to sit down and then she starts opening up and having the conversations like, oh, I was actually thinking about that. But like, but you were never going to mention it. Like, how do you expect to get the help you need if you don't talk about it and you don't communicate?
And I've been thinking, like, I get in terms of, like, one thing about my mom, and I think especially with a lot of Haitian parents, like, you can live with them forever.
Yeah.
What pay on bill here and there, you're going to give them some money inside, but they're never going to charge you the way they would charge a stranger.
Right.
And then they'll never be like, you have to get out.
Yeah.
They'll say, let them economy. That way, when you're ready, you can leave, blah, blah, blah. Like, I am not in a rush. I am not being forced out of my house to think. So it's like, financially, they're never going to take what they probably would want to take that's actually going to help them.
Yeah.
So which means they're always going to work to their full capacity because they don't want to do that to you.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, like, for me, with my mom, like, okay, you're not going to stop working. All right, bet once a quarter, take 2 days extra off, have a long weekend. I'm going to book a hotel for you by yourself.
That's, you have to.
And we have to come up with some solution.
You have to come up with a solution, and then you have to show them the other side, you know, like, look, for example, my mom not taking vacation. The moment I booked her a vacation, she's like, oh, so this is how it feels. Exactly. So it's just like, we have to show them that there are other ways to relax, to, you know, remove themselves from, like, the stressful aspect of life, you know? So I think I am forever grateful for them. I am forever grateful for our mothers. I'm forever grateful for my mom. Like you said, I wouldn't be here right now where I am if it wasn't for her, and my father. So, in conclusion, guys, I want our generation to do better. Like, I've come across some amazing, like, my circle, we good. We're great.
Yeah. Like, see your parents as human.
See your parents as human and do better. Do better. Like, I understand our parents push us to go to college. If college is not for you, don't do it. Don't even waste their money. Go find a trade. Go find something. There is so much out here. But the one thing you're not going to do is stress your Haitian mother and Haitian father at home, having them cry because they don't know where you are. Okay. They don't know what you're doing out in the streets. Okay. Like, that, not saying that it makes it better if your parents were born here and, like, you can go ahead and do things like that. But the fact that your parents work so hard to come into this country and then you're not doing the right things in this country.
Ooh, I never understood it until now, to be honest.
That, like, breaks my heart.
That would be pissed.
That, no, that will, like, for my kids, my future kids, I expect more from you. Like, not, I didn't, like, my parents got me here, but I still had to work hard.
So as I'm
first gen. So, like, I still had to work hard. So I expect more from you. And
I'm going to be like, you didn't have it as hard as I was reading and filing papers at the age, like, you're actually going to have a childhood and a life that I unfortunately didn't have because of the circumstances of my parents.
Listen, they're going to go.
I expect better from you.
They're not, like, well, I remember when I was younger, I had to go to the hospital with my grandparents, like, because they didn't speak English. With my parents, they're going to be able to go to the hospital by themselves, whether or not my kids can join them and help them out.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not going to be as stressful for them compared as a second generation.
And this is where I guess the Haitian mentality is coming to me. Like, you're gonna spend at least one day a week. I don't care if you're a teenager. Go visit your grandma. Visit your grandpa. We're not, like, Listen, they done did too much to get all of us here for you to be a teenager who don't care about your grandparents.
Too much.
Cut it out.
When it comes to grandparents, I've had the blessing of experiencing both of my grandparents on both sides. And let me tell you, I ride for my grandparents. Like, I was blessed with amazing grandparents, like, amazing. Still today, my grandmother is still alive, and I'm so happy that she'll be able to join me for my wedding. Yes. And listen, my grandmother, she rides for me. she'll put her daughter in her place for me, okay? And I still remember when my mom found out I was moving, upset, obviously. I'm their only child. But when my grandmother found out I was moving, she was sad. Mind you, I have a close relationship with my grandmother. Yeah. But she was like, I understand. Like, bruh, that's
the point. Not me.
That she understands. She can do what you got to do. And I'm like, okay, like,
Man, Savannah. Do what you got to do, baby.
She, like, that made me feel a lot better. But, to wrap up this episode, guys, I'm just speaking to our generation. Like, I just want us to do better, like I was saying. And also for parents, and I hope parents will do better on their end of just conveying and communicating with their kids on, hey, this is where I came from. Like, your mom, Tati, communicated on how she came into this country with you. And you know the story. There's a lot of parents who don't tell their kids.
It's hard to appreciate what you don't know.
Yeah. So it's just like, you think your parents came here and they have all this nice stuff. and don't know that they worked hard for it. Some parents are embarrassed to tell their kids where they work and what they do and how they got here. And I think that if you, I think that parents, just like the older generation, have to communicate with their kids, like, listen, I worked hard for this. I had to work three jobs to be here. Like, I had to struggle to be here, and I would want you, and I would like you to do better than me, or be somewhere better than I am right now. And I just think as our generation, we need to take that message and do better for ourselves. Yeah.
This is a great episode. Maybe it's just everything I've been going through. So this is a therapy session I need. And I want to, one more thing. Therapy helped me and Ellie get this way.
Yeah.
I just want to say that. Honestly, it's hard to forgive. It's hard to see our parents, especially when there's a cultural difference. It's very hard. But I would advocate anyone who's having difficulty with their parents, especially first generation, go to a therapist. Because my therapist, shout out to her, she's helped me see my mom as a human, and I never saw my mom that way.
Yeah.
And that's where this compassion and this understanding and this me wanting to protect her time here that she has left came from.
Yeah. Yo, I was fighting tears this whole episode.
Yeah,
I get really emotional talking about that. I'm very grateful for my parents, grateful for my mother. And I am specifically mentioning my mother because as March is Women's International Month, I believe Women's Month. I want to give a shout out. International Women's Month. So I want to give a shout out to all the special mothers, all the special women who are working so hard, and especially those who came into this country, had nothing and are working so hard to make their family proud. And I encourage our generation women to just work as hard to do better and to make our parents and our mothers really proud of us.
Yes.
So thank you guys for tuning in to this episode. We'll make sure to catch you guys on our next episode.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.